In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Veni, Sancti Spiritus, repetuum corda fidinum et tuum emoris inim accende. Emite Spiritum tuum et crepum tuum. Oremus. Deus qui corda fidinum Sancti Spiritus illus satiando Christi da nobis in eodem Spiritu recta sapere, et Deus semper consolatione gaudere, per Christum Dominum nostrum.
Amen.
Cor Mariae Immaculatum. O Jesus, living in the heart of Mary Carmen, live in me, in the spirit of thy holiness, in the fullness of thy might, in the truth of thy virtues, in the perfection of thy ways, in the communion of thy mysteries, sub to every hostile power, in thy spirit for the glory of the Father. Amen. Nos cum prolepia. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. After we spent time in prayer and meditation to get to know our Blessed Lady, the secret of Mary, the role she played in the economy of salvation, her privileges, her role in the Church, and her role at the end of times, we enter now the last phase in the preparation for the total consecration, which consists to fill ourselves, or to be filled, with the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. That we get to know Him deeply, Jesus Christ. That Mary obtains for us the grace to obtain the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. And during this period, shortly before the consecration, we ask our Blessed Lady for the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that she introduce you in this knowledge, that she reveals to us her Divine Son, in order that He can reign in our hearts without limits. We renounce Satan and elect Jesus Christ to our King, since we elected Mary as our Queen. And we elect Jesus Christ as our King, as our sole Lord and King. And for the oral prayers during this time period, he recommends, of course, the Litany to the Holy Ghost still, the Ave Maria Stella, then the Litany of the Name of Jesus, and then the prayer of St. Louis Kennedy Montfort to our Blessed Lord Himself, which I will give it to you, and then the prayer, the little prayer, which we just said. During this time period, you should meditate about the love of Christ, the love of God. Make acts of love to God and love to neighbor. Joyful bearing of suffering and forgiving sins and things which other people did against you. And our first meditation consists in that the love of God, the love of Christ, revealed itself to us poor men by His incarnation, by the incarnation of Christ. The sins all eternity hidden, invisible love of God became visible, touchable, in our Lord, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And we should ask our Blessed Lady at that meditation, the Mother of Fair Love, that she obtains us the grace that we recognize this great and deep and high love of Christ to us, this knowledge which succeeds all knowledge. In sacred scripture there are many places which talk about the love of God. You could call even sacred scripture, if you want, the letter of love of God to man. But we want to limit our nourishment for meditation, taken from four sources. First, Jeremiah's chapter 31, verse 3. And it says, "The Lord has appeared from afar to me. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore have I drawn thee, taking pity on thee." Then John, of course, Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as it were of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then St. John, chapter 3:16. "For God so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish, but may have life everlasting." And then the Epistle to the Galatians of St. Paul, chapter 2, verse 20. "And I live now not I, but Christ liveth in me, and that I live now in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself for him." We should really go deep during this meditation, that we are penetrated by the concept of the greatness of the love of our good God, who became man for our salvation. In the book by Father Neubert called My Highest Ideal, Jesus, Mary's Son, you will receive this book later on, after the retreat, he says, following in chapter 2, and he puts it in a conversation between Jesus, Mary, and the soul. "My brother, in order to understand my childlike love to Mary, my mother, try first to understand that I am her son, because I wanted to be. What I did was never forced, never by chains or without a plan. As I came from heaven to restore the honor of my father and to redeem the human race, I had many ways to do so. However, I preferred the way of Mary. With deliberation, I created Mary in order that she would become my mother, since she would not have lived if I did not want to entrust this office to her. With free deliberation, I created her exactly how she is, in order that I become as I am. In all truth, I am her child. Like any other child, I did want to assume the human nature from my mother. I want to be nourished from her, and I want to subject myself to her. I am her child to a much higher degree than you are the child of your mother, since she alone gave me my human nature. I am her child totally as Godman, since the one for whom she gave birth is only one. Recognize now that the love it was which moved me to become her child, the love to my father, since I could glorify him in such a way, and that man could understand him better and love him better. Then the love to my mother, which gave me more joy than the angel and the man. And also the love to mankind, the love to you, my beloved brother. The total consecration, as I said before, is nothing else, and St. Louis King de Montfort explains this, is nothing else than a very intimate imitation of our Blessed Lord, who did his total consecration to Mary by his incarnation and lived this consecration throughout his entire life. Therefore, I said this before, St. Louis King de Montfort speaks about it, the mystery of the Incarnation is a very central mystery, a very special feast for those who consecrate themselves totally to our Blessed Lady and live up to this consecration. The Feast of the Annunciation, March 25th, should be always a very, very special feast. A very special prayer should be the Angelus for a child of Mary who consecrated itself to her. And the mystery of the Incarnation should inspire you, right, by meditation, in prayer, really, and by reading, to imitate the subjection and more so the dependence of our Lord, the love our Lord, which he has in his heart for his mother, and you should imitate this love. In this book, My Highest Ideal, Jesus, Mary's Son, you will receive after the retreat, so that you can deepen your knowledge and more so deepen your meditation, your thought in meditation, that you can grow in this love, in this love like a child to Mary, exemplified by our Blessed Lord. St. Louis Grignard de Montfort speaks in his letter, The Love of Eternal Wisdom, in this little booklet, about this mystery as follows. It is number 105 to 114. At last, when the time appointed for the redemption of mankind had come, Eternal Wisdom built himself a house, a worldly dwelling place. He created and formed the Immaculate Mary in the womb of St. Anne, which he did with even greater delight than he had taken in creating the universe. It is not possible to express on the one hand, the ineffable communications of the Blessed Trinity to this most fair creature, and on the other hand, the fidelity with which she corresponded with the graces of her Creator. The precipitate current of the infinite goodness of God, which had been violently checked by the sins of men, from the beginning of the world now discharged itself impetuously and fully into the heart of Mary. To her, eternal wisdom gave all the graces which Adam and all his descendants would have received from his liberality had they kept their original justice. The full plenitude of the graces of the divinity poured itself into Mary in so much as a mere creature is capable of receiving it. O Mary, masterpiece of the Most High, miracle of eternal wisdom, prodigy of the Almighty, abyss of grace, only He who created thee, and this I say with all the saints, knows the height, the depth, and the breadth of the graces He has conferred upon thee. During her childhood and young maidenhood, the Immaculate Mary grew so prodigiously in the grace and wisdom of God and in perfect fidelity to His love, that not only the angels, but even God Himself was ravished with delight. Her humility, profound as an abyss, pleased Him. Her complete purity drew Him to her. Her lively faith and her frequent and loving prayers took Him by storm. Eternal wisdom was lovingly conquered by her pursuit of love. St. Augustine exclaims, O how great was the love of Mary, which conquered the Omnipotent. Wondrous act! When this divine wisdom wished to come down from the bosom of His Father into the womb of a virgin, to dwell there surrounded by the lilies of her purity, and to become hers by taking flesh in her, He sent the archangel Gabriel to bring her His greetings in order to betoken that she had won His heart and that He wished to become man in her, provided she gave her consent. The archangel fulfilled his mission. He assumed her that she would remain a virgin whilst become a mother, and thus obtain from her love the ineffable consent which the Blessed Trinity, all the angels in the whole world, had awaited for so many centuries. Profoundly humbling herself before the Creator, she said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. Notice that at the very moment Mary consented to become the mother of God, several prodigies took place. The Holy Spirit began to form from the most pure blood of Mary's heart a little body which He fashioned most perfectly. God created the most perfect soul that He ever created. Eternal wisdom, the Son of God, truly united Himself in unity of person to that body and soul. Behold the great wonder of heaven and earth, the prodigious excess of the love of God. The world was made flesh. Eternal wisdom was incarnate. God was made man without ceasing to be God. This God made man is called Jesus Christ, which means Savior. He is a summary of His divine life on earth. He wished to be born of a married woman, though she was indeed a virgin, that He might not be reproached as having been born of an adulterous union, or for other very important reasons given by the Holy Fathers. His conception was announced to the Blessed Virgin by the angel Gabriel. He was made a child of Adam without inheriting his sin. The Church celebrates the day of His conception as the Feast of the Annunciation, March 25th. 9 months after His conception, the Savior of the world was born in the town of Bethlehem in a poor stable with a manger of His cradle. An angel brought the news of the Savior's birth to some shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks in the fields. He invited them to go over to Bethlehem and adore their Savior. At the same time, they heard the celestial voices of angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men of good will." 8 days after his birth, he was circumcised, according to the law of Moses, although he was not subject to the law, and he was given the name of Jesus, which was brought from heaven. 3 wise men from the east came to adore him. They were apprised of his birth by an extraordinary star, which guided them throughout their long journey to Bethlehem. This is the feast of Epiphany, or the manifestation of God, celebrated on January 6th. 40 days after his birth, he wished to offer himself in the temple, that he might observe the ritual that the law of Moses prescribed for the firstborn. Sometime after Jesus was presented in the temple, the angel told St. Joseph, spouse of the Blessed Virgin, to take the infant Jesus and his mother and flee into Egypt, in order to escape the wrath of Herod. This he did. The length of time that our Lord stayed in Egypt is not known, but by his presence he sanctified this whole country and made it worthy to be inhabited everywhere by the holy hermits, as history proves. Eusebius tells us that at the entry of Jesus into Egypt, the devils fled, and St. Athanasius adds that the idols toppled over. At the age of 12 years, the Son of God, sitting among the doctors in the temple, taught with such wisdom that he astonished all his hearers. After this, the Gospel makes no mention of him until he was baptized at the age of 13. Then he retired into the desert, fasting from food and drink for 40 days. He fought the devil and conquered him. After this, he began to preach in Judea, to call the apostles, and to work all the miracles related in the Gospel. I need only record that Jesus, during the years of his public preaching, raised Lazarus from the dead, made a triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, celebrated the Pasch with his disciples, washed the feet of his apostles, and instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist under the appearances of bread and wine. In this meditation, you should really be convinced from your heart, from your innermost heart, God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, did all this out of his great love for mankind, out of love for you and for me. And you should imitate his subjection to his Blessed Mother out of love to him and to his Blessed Mother. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae, Amen.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, Amen.